All right, morning. Today's daf is daf test in Chulin. We're back on Chesamad Bay. Okay. A lot of the most basic halachas that come up in terms of Hilchos Shechita, and a little bit about Yisurim today, about Bliyas Isser, is coming up over the course of today's Gemara. But really, some basic stuff today. We're going to be discussing today the five Psulei Shechita, which we alluded to already a number of times, but the Gemara is going to actually mention all five today. And we'll talk a little bit about Chazakah today. We have a big day coming up, right? We're in the heart of the first parak of Chulin, and this is really it. So yesterday, just quickly to review, so we talked about shechting with a knife that was used for Avodah Zarah. So with Tashmishi Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara said yesterday that if you shecht with such a knife, so interestingly enough, that's fine. Shechting with such a knife would be fine. Why? Because as we pointed out yesterday, if you do a cost analysis, animals worth more alive than dead. So by shechting it, you're actually being a makalkel. You're actually diminishing its value, and so consequently, you're not getting benefit. You're not getting hanah from the knife that was used for avodah zarah. If you shechted it, if you wanted to cut meat, that the Gemara you said you can't do because cutting meat, that's a hanah. That's a benefit. Okay. The Gemara yesterday. Let's move on to the next halacha that we saw yesterday. This is Chesamad Beis. This is towards the top of Chesamad Beis, and the Gemara says, if you shecht with a sack of shal v'kochavim, so what do you have to do about the makom hashchita, the area that you actually shechted? Meaning, you cut the neck, and the knife that you used was had flavor. It had an absorption of treif in it, we'll call it treif, colloquially. So what do you do in terms of the neck, the makom hashchita? So the Gemara brought down a machlokus between Rav and Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Rav says that you have to do klipa. And in other words, you have to take off a layer of basar, a layer of meat, from the makom hashchita, from the area that you shechted, and fine. And Rabba Bar Bar Chana says, no, just hadacha, all you need to do is rinse it off. The Gemara introduced us yesterday to a very fundamental machlokus in terms of how to view the Beis HaShechita. Is a Beis HaShechita a place which is rosech, or is it sonein? Is it hot or it's cold? Now, as mentioned yesterday, we know the temperature. We know the temperature of the Beis HaShechita is 100 degrees, 100, 103 degrees. That's not the question of the Gemara. The Gemara wants to know, is that enough heat in order to make a transfer of taste from the knife to the makom hashchita, to the area that you cut? That's the Gemara's question yesterday. And what the Gemara did yesterday is explain both positions, both klipa and hadacha, for both contexts. Meaning that we can explain both positions if you assume Beis HaShechita is sonein, and we can explain both positions if you hold Beis HaShechita is roseach. How are we going to do it? So quickly, let's review what we saw yesterday. If you hold Beis HaShechita sonein, that 100 degrees is not hot enough, it's cold, so to say, so then certainly hadacha you understand, because there was no transfer of taste, there was no blia. How are you going to explain klipa? So the Gemara introduced us to an idea yesterday, which is called duchta de sakina, friction of the knife, meaning that when you cut something with a knife, and that knife creates friction when it cuts through, like anything that rub one against another, so that plus the fact that you are in the process of shechting, that creates a little bit of transfer, even though the Beis HaShechita is sonein. Okay? That is how you're going to explain both positions if it's sonein. What if it's Beis HaShechita is roseach? So then how are you going to explain both positions? So that's also pretty easy. Because if you hold Beis HaShechita roseach, certainly you understand klipa, because there was a transfer of taste. Okay? Because it was hot enough in order to produce that transfer of taste. But what if you say it's just hadacha? So how are you going to explain that, assuming that Beis HaShechita is roseach? So the Gemara yesterday said, well, that we're going to explain by saying that even though it's true, it's a hot area, and even though that's true, normally we would say there was a transfer of taste, and there should be a transfer from the knife to the Beis HaShechita, but at the same time, there's also blood rushing out of the neck of the animal. And that kind of blocks the taste from going from the knife to the neck if there's blood going from the neck outward. Okay? Two forces equal but opposite. Okay, that's what we saw yesterday. Okay, two important points I want to make over here, and then we're going to go on in the Gemara. Number one, who do we follow? Right? Rav or Rabba Bar Bar Chana? So Rashi is of the position that we should be machmir. Rashi writes, Rashi says that this is a suffik. Rashi duchad de sakina, right? See where I am in the Rashi, right alongside where we are. We're in Chesam and Beis. Rashi writes duchad de sakin she mishasha fo bebasa bedochek bala vekeven. Okay, bala. Right. Rashi just explains to us the idea that with friction comes the transfer of taste. Vekeven delo ifseik hilchasa. So Rashi writes, look, the Gemara never resolves, meaning we have a machlokus over here. What do you do with the Beis HaShechita? Do you need to peel or do you need to just rinse? And the Gemara didn't come to a conclusion. The Isura da'araisahu, and we're talking about Issa min HaTorah, right? Because the taste that is in the knife is real tarfus, it's real Isser. So avdinan lechomra. So Rashi says we should be machmir. Dekaimalan v'shol Torah halachacha ha-machmir. So, before I get to the next point of Rashi. Good. So Rashi says we should be machmir, right? Simple, it's a suffik issa d'araisa, meaning I don't know how to follow, and it's an issa d'araisa, so we should be machmir, and we should require klipa. That is Rashi's position. Now, should I take the knife of an avodah zarah and shecht with it? Of course not. No, meaning right. Rashi says the entire discussion that we're having right now is only a discussion in a bidyevin. But lechatchila, one certainly shouldn't take the knife, and one should not cut with such a knife. Okay, good. Okay, so Rashi says that we go with the mandam of Rav, who says you have to do klipa, and Rashi also adds that this whole discussion of the Gemara is only on a bidyevin level, and that's very mistab, but that makes a lot of sense. Okay, one other point I want to make, and that is the point of duch de sakina, right? I spoke about this week, Dr. Zagi, after the daf yesterday. We said that with the friction of the knife, so that creates a transfer of taste. So the Rush in the back of the Gemara writes, I'm going to try to quote the Rush extensively, Okay, the Rush in the back of the Gemara writes, this idea of duch de sakina, where friction creates a transfer of taste. So the Rush says, no, not always. Meaning, just when you, if you cut something and the knife is cold and the object that you're cutting is cold, there's really no transfer of taste. Even though there is duch de sakina, even though there is friction of the knife, but friction of the knife by itself does not create a transfer of taste. It needs a little bit more. Okay? The Rush writes in the back, I'll just read it inside. The ain, okay? He quotes, the Rush quotes, Tosus also quotes the same thing as well. Rav Yitzchak ben Harav Rabbeinu Rav Meir. Okay, Rivam, right? Okay. The one of the sons, yeah. Right, it's, yeah. The first one was the Rashbam, the second one's the Rivam. Okay. Second son of Rav Meir. Rav Meir had three boys, right? The Rashbam was the oldest. Right, then the Rivam, and then Rabbeinu Tam. So anyway, he quotes the name of the Rivam. Right, after you shechted the animal, so you're going to separate the chela from the meat. Okay, and by separating, we mean cut it with a knife. So he writes the Rivam that after you did that, everywhere you cut with that knife, you have to do klipa again. Why? Because there was a transfer of taste. Why was there a transfer of taste? Because duch de sakina, because of friction of the knife. Now I know everything's cold, but the Rivam says, yeah, but you have friction of the knife, and that creates a transfer of taste. Okay, that is the opinion of the Rivam based off our Gemara. The Ein Raya Mikan, and the Rush writes, no, I totally disagree with him. The Afagav de Amar based Ashkita Sonenhu Mikoma Kom Cham Ksas. Even when our Gemara says that the Beis HaShechita is sonein, don't take the Gemara that literally. It does not mean it's cold. It's not cold. In fact, we know it's 100 degrees. So it's cold in the sense that it in of itself does not create a transfer of taste. But it's still going to help. V'chi haigav nadavka hu darmina agav duch desakina bala ava besonein gamar lo. Only when, I'm going to add two things together. Right, the little amount of heat that exists in the Beis HaShechita, meaning categorically, what category am I going to put under sonein? Fine. But it still has a little bit of heat. That, coupled with duch de sakina, that will create a transfer of taste. But just duch de sakina, just friction of the knife by itself, if everything else is cold, so then it creates no transfer of taste. In fact, teidah, The Rush goes on to make this case. Okay, based on a Gemara which we haven't seen yet, so hold on that point. I'm skipping one line. We're going to see a Gemara later on in Chulin that if I have a radish or anything sharp, but the Gemara uses the example of radish, and I cut it with a fleshic knife, so I can't eat that radish with milk. Okay? So, the bekutach, the agav churfa, and it's known, palit sakin uvalit stonein. Good. What did you just do? You just cut with a knife. Right? If there is this concept of ducha de sakina, so why are we talking about radishes? Why are we talking about a food that has a sharp flavor? Should be true when you cut anything with a fleshic knife, you can't eat that item with milchik. So, once again, the Rush makes this case that duch de sakina by itself, if there's nothing else helping it and assisting in the transfer of taste, duch de sakina by itself does not create a transfer of taste. That is the opinion of Rush. That's the that is the generally presumed position. Okay, good. Let's go back to our Gemara. We got a lot to cover today. Sakin treifa. Okay, we're back at the Gemara. We're in the middle of Ches Amud Beis, and the Gemara now moves on to a similar, related topic. You have a sack and treifa, knife of a treifa. What does that mean? It means that you shechted an animal, and the animal that you shechted was treif. Okay? You certainly did not know that going into the Shechita. You always discovered treifa after you shechted, but doesn't matter. In other words, you shechted an animal which is a treifa. So that means now, aside from, of course, the fact that the animal itself you can't eat, but that's not the question. The question goes going on the knife. What is the status of the knife? So, pligi bar Rav Acha v'Ravina chanamar bechamin v'chanamar bitzonein. So, one position, Gemara does not identify who says what, but one position is that the you got to kasher the knife. Bechamin. You got to kasher the knife. The knife absorbed the taste of the treif meat, and so therefore you got to kasher the knife. And the other position is bitzonein. No, you don't have to kasher the knife. Just rub the knife, right? There was no transfer that went from the animal, which is a treifa, to the knife. V'hilchasa afilu bitzonein, and the halacha is that afilu bitzonein, that it's fine. The knife is fine. Now, Rashi points out over here, wait a second, right? Just one line ago in the Gemara, or five lines ago in the Gemara was contemplating that there was, in fact, a transfer of taste. And Rashi himself says that given the choice between Rav versus Rabba Bar Chana, we paskin like Rav, which means that the Beis HaShechita creates a transfer of taste. So how come, this is Rashi's question, how come a Gemara ago we said that there is a transfer of taste from the knife to the Beis HaShechita, albeit just a klipa, but that doesn't matter. There is some sort of transfer of taste. But here on this discussion, the Gemara says that there's no transfer of taste from the treifa animal to the knife. Look at Rashi inside. Rashi deals exactly with this question. So Rashi writes, the difference goes like this. When we are dealing with transfer of taste, you also need to look at how hard an object is. Meaning that previously we were talking about where the knife was treif, right? It was a sakin shel avodah zarah. And now you're shechting. So, and the meat obviously is a softer substance. So we can easily view the taste transferring from a hard knife to a soft meat. Here, we're going in the other direction. The knife is kosher. It's the meat which is treif. So here we're talking about the taste going from a soft meat to a hard knife. So for that, you need real chamimus. You need real heat in order to create a transfer to go from meat to knife. So Rashi's explanation is that although in the previous Gemara we said that there is a little bit of transfer from knife to meat, here in the Beis HaShechita, in the context of the Beis HaShechita, there's no transfer from meat to knife. Okay. And the Gemara points out that if you have a rag, it's a shmata, and you want to wipe the knife with the shmata, that would be fine. Okay? So if you shech the trefa, which happens, meaning the animal turned out to be trefa, and you want to use this knife again in order to shech, so all you need to do is wipe the knife with a little rag, and that would be sufficient. And Tosfos and the Rush both discuss, didn't we say previously that if you have a knife and you want to clean it, you have to stick it into the earth 10 times, and over here the Gemara simply says a simple wiping with a rag would be sufficient, and Tosfos and the Rush deal with that issue. Ulaman damar becham in my tama mishum de kabbalah isur de etera nami bala ever menachai. So the Gemara says, wait a second, let's now think this through. Okay? There's an opinion, although the Gemara says we don't accept it, but there's an opinion out there that if I have a shechting knife and I shecht the trefa with that knife, so you got to kasher the knife. Okay? That's an opinion. It's a tenable position which we happen not to accept. Fine. So the Gemara says, let's think this through for just a moment. Every time I shecht an animal, every single time I shecht an animal, isn't that animal usser? Of course it is. Meaning, I realize I'm confusing people now, but let's do this again. Before the animal shechted, can I eat the animal? No. Right? What's the isser?
It's forbidden from alive.
Yeah, Avram and Achai. Right? It's Avram and Achai. So in other words, while the animal's alive, the animal is usser. Okay? So I'm shechting now. So the Gemara now is wondering out loud, with every single shechita, basically what's happening now is that the taste of this live animal is going into the knife. Now you'll say to me, okay, but that's the process of shechita. Good, that's the process of shechita. But it would presumably, what the Gemara now is advancing, is suggesting, is that after every single shechita, you're going to have to kasher the knife. Based on the opinion that we just saw, that when you shech the trefa, you got to kasher the knife. Now again, we don't hold like that position, but that doesn't matter. That is an opinion, it's a tenable position, so according to that opinion, shouldn't we have to kasher the knife after every shechita? Now the Gemara just assumes that that's even he wouldn't hold that position, but why not? Why wouldn't you have to kasher after every shechita? Ulaman darma becham in my time, mishum de kabbalah yisura de eteranami bala. So good. So isn't there a blia? Isn't there a transfer of iser? The iser is called Eiver Menachai. Answers the Gemara: Emas Bala Lechi Chaima. Okay. So the Gemara says, look, even if you hold that there is a transfer, okay, granted, but when exactly is a transfer? The Gemara here is going to be very precise. The Gemara says that's only when there's enough heat generated. Okay. When is there going to be enough heat generated? Amos kachayma lechigamra shchita. That's at the conclusion of shechting. Meaning, here you are with the knife, you're going in, you're going all the way in, only when you get to the end of the shchita. When you have finished cutting the two pipes, the trachea and the esophagus, then and only then is there enough heat generated. Even if you hold the Beis HaShechita as Rosech. And now, Ahishaita, now at that particular moment, Hetera Havai. Now it's Heter, now it's not Isser. Okay, good. Now I'll go back to the Rush one more time. Right? Remember the Rush's thesis? That Duchka the Sakina by itself does not create transfer of taste. One of the Rush's proof is the Gemara that we just got done learning. Meaning, because the Gemara over here says, according to the opinion that there would be a transfer of taste, when is that going to happen? Only when it gets good and hot enough. When is that? That's when you get to the end of the Shechita. So the Rush again argues, if Duch de Sakina by itself creates a transfer of taste, so then there should be a transfer of taste already at the beginning of the Shechita. Okay. So again, this goes back to the Rush's thesis that Duch de Sakina by itself is not enough to create transfer of taste. Good. One more point. It's just a lot. A lot to do here. One more point before we move on. The Gemara here says that, right? Sorry.
One more point
to go over. I'm sorry. With Gemara here, it was entertaining the idea that every time you shecht, you have to kasher the knife because the I'm sorry. Okay, I'm making the point prematurely. Okay, let's go on in the Gemara. Okay, I apologize. All right, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Okay, more halachas. Hatabach sarich shlosha sakinim. Okay, every butcher needs three knives. Okay, yeah, so this is the investment that you have to make when you go into the business of being a butcher. So every butcher needs three knives. Achas sheshochei basar, one knife to shecht. V'achas shemechatech b'basar, another knife to cut the meat. V'achas shemechatech b'chalavim, and another knife to cut the chalav. Right? Every animal, every single animal has chalav. Those are the forbidden fats that are connected with the animal. When we get to the third perek, we will see in detail where exactly in the animal, anatomically, is the chalav. But every butcher needs three knives. So the Gemara says, "V'litkin lechad v'lechtoch ba'basav ahad lechtoch ba'chalavim." So the Gemara here says, "Let's give this shochet a little bit of a break. Instead of three knives, why not two knives? First, cut the meat, then cut the chalav." Okay. So the Gemara says, "Chizirish amiyachti chalav mecherkach basa." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but I'm worried that the butcher may, you know, there's a lot going on, and so first he'll cut the chalav, and then he'll cut the meat. And look, the problem is that if you first cut the chalav, now there will be little bits of chalav on the knife, then you cut the meat, and you're basically now passing on that chalav into the meat. Obviously, we don't want that. The Gemara says, well, if we're worried about confusion, aren't we confused with two knives? And the Gemara says simply, no, we're not. Meaning, if a shochin has two knives, you know, just like us in our kitchens, we have a milchik knife and we have a fleshik knife, and we never confuse those. Okay, I'll admit, sometimes they do. But generally speaking, though, that's the whole point, is to keep, you know, meat and milk separate. So here, if he had the shochet has two knives, one for the meat and one for the fat, he'll keep them separate. Another halacha, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, hatabach sarach shnei kelim shomayim. Two bowls of water, echad shemidyach babas v'echad shemidyach bo chalav. Chalavim. One to rinse the meat and one to rinse the fat. Again, the Gemara is going to go through the same give and take. V'nitkin lechad v'nediach bo basar v'hadar nediach bo chalavim. Why don't we use one bowl, rinse the meat in that bowl, and then use that same bowl for fat? What's the big deal? Meaning, and the Gemara is going to point out what the Gemara just pointed out previously. So again, the Gemara says, I'm worried that first you're going to rinse the fat, and then you're going to rinse the meat. And again, problem is that if you rinse the fat in that water, little residue fat is going to be in that water, and then when I rinse the meat in that water, the fat will cling to the meat, and you're not allowed to eat chalav. Hashtanami mechlef lefei kem, and that's rechina tarte islu hekera. And again, once you have two bowls, there's a heker, and you will not confuse those two bowls. Amra meimer mishmei derav papa. Other tidbits of halacha, not trivial, God forbid, but little blurbs of halacha. Lo lischof inish kafle ilave bisra. Don't do the following. You have your flanks of meat. Okay, I'm not in the business, and you know, even though I'm a meat consumer, but I don't really understand these things. I need to go to a schlachthaus. But the flanks of meat have in it both meat and fat and chalav. Don't lay it on top of another piece of meat. Why not? Didaiv tarba, because the fat's going to flow ubala bisra, and it's going to absorb into the meat that it's on top of. So in other words, warning to the butchers. When you have your flanken, your flanks of meat, don't lay it down on top of another piece of meat, because you know the fat is going to go down to the other piece of meat. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Ki tritzanami daif tarba uvala bisra. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. The flanken of the animal, it has contained in it both meat and chalav. So much like you were concerned previously of taking the flank and putting on top another piece of meat, and you're worried that the fat is going to flow down and go on top of the other piece of meat, I understand the flank itself has got meat and chalav. I don't understand, says the Gemara. So the Gemara says, karma mafsik mitasai. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there are thin membranes separating the meat and the chalav. Okay, and when we go through this inside, the Gemara later on, the third paragraph is going to describe in detail. Okay, so there actually are membranes separating the meat and the chalef. So there's a natural barrier separating the meat and the chalef. So yihachi mi lai nami karma ika. So the Gemara says, okay, but there's a membrane basically over the entire area of the chalef. So aren't, so much like you relied on the membrane, the natural membrane, to create a natural separation between meat and the fat, so isn't that membrane going to be good enough to separate this fat from any other piece of meat? So the Gemara says, "Aidi de memashma shayada de tavcha mifatate." So the Gemara says, no, because the butcher is going to be handling this piece, and the that protective membrane that's over the fat is going to be handled by the butcher. He's going to wear away at that thin little membrane, and so therefore, on the exposed part of the fat, we're worried that the membrane is going to wear down, and there will be basically leakage of the chalev onto other pieces. But the membrane that separates the fat and the meat that it's actually connected to, that is a natural barrier separating the two. And so the Gemara says, I'm not worried about that as well. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Tama Chacham. You want to be a Tama Chacham. So aside from learning a lot, and not just learning a lot, but also remembering a lot, right? It's a struggle. But aside from that, Sarach Shiyomot Gimel Dvarim, there are three practical things that you need to know. Number one, Ksav. Now, I would think that Ksav here means how to be a sofer. That's not what Rashi writes. Rashi surprised me, even though we've been through this Gemara before, but right, the memory thing is the killer. So Rashi writes, Ksav lichtov shiadea lichtom shmo ilu yashav bedino la'edus. You got to know how to sign your name. You got to be literate.
Wow.
Yeah. I also that comment to Rashi surprised me. Meaning, I really thought that the Gemara was talking about being a sofer. No, just it means you got to know how to sign your name. Okay. Apparently, it's interesting. You could be a Talmud Chacham without being so, without the ability to know how to write. Yeah, sure. Meaning, back in the good old days, the Torah Shabbat Peh was right was all done by rote. Anyway, Gimel Dvarim.
They could read.
I guess. So, okay. Surprised me. Right. That Rashi surprised me. Shechita. Okay, so you want to be a Talmud Chacham, you should not have to shecht.
Yeah.
Now Rashi right over here writes, when the Gemara says you have to know how to shecht, la'amein yadav, you got to know. In other words, not just the knowledge of what makes a furry good shechita, which we'll talk about in just a moment, but in addition to that, you got to hold your hand steady. Meaning you got to have actual practice in terms of shechita. And finally, number three is mila. Okay, that I think is self-explanatory. You got to know how to mal. So you want to be a Talmud Chacham, you have to be proficient in these three activities. Okay, I'm so far batting one for three.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad day.
Yeah,
I could sign my name. Never shechted before. I've done Mila, but I don't count it though, because I someone was there and set it up, and you know, all I did was just slice. I wouldn't count that. Okay. Rav Chanina bar Shammai Mishmei de Rav Amar Av Kesher Shotil and Birchas Chafsanim Vitzitzis. So Rav Chanina adds three more things to the list of if you want to be a Talmud Chacham. And so that is number one, Kesher Shotil. You got to know how to make the knot of tefillin. Rashi here goes through the fact that you spell Shem Hashem with your tefillin. Right? We're all familiar with this. Rashi writes, Yesh bo umno she'asui kmo oz dalis. Shehenira ba shakai. You right? You want Shem Hashem, Shin Dalad Yud. So Hashin Chakuka Bikimte Atfar. So the Shin we're all familiar with. That is actually etched out into the box. Ke'en Shin. Uritsua Kitana Kfula. Tuluya Ke'en Yud. And you have a little Ritsua, a little knot coming out of the Shel Yad that looks like a Yud. The Hakesha Hasui Ke'en Dal. And then you have a knot, which is on the back of the neck of the tefillin, that is shaped like a dalet. So that spells out Shem Hashem. So once again, he says you should add that to the list of if you want to be a Talmud Chacham, this is something you need to know how to do, how to make the Kesher Shel Tefillin. Okay, I'm close. I can tighten the knot and loosen the knot, right? Which, by the way, is a great, it's a great little skill to have, right? People find this out. They come to you all the time to loosen and tighten. Okay, good. That much I could do. Okay, so I'm almost there in terms of I can make the knot from scratch, okay, admittedly. Birchas Chasanim. Rashi makes no comment over here, but what does that mean? Does that mean to know how to do Masada Kedushin from beginning to end? Is it just how to make the brachas? I'm not sure, but okay. And finally, tzitzis. Tzitzis I got also. That one I could do. All right, so I'm not doing so well in terms of my my attempts to be a Talmid Chacham, but these are three additional things that you need to know. V'idach, the Gemara says, how come when Rav Yehuda Amarav says you need to be Talmid Chacham, how come he didn't add this list of three things? So Hanish Chichan. So the Gemara says, Tefillin, Tzitzis, Birchas Chasanim. Right, everyone knows how to do it. You don't need a Talmid Chacham for these things. These things are popular. Everyone knows how to do it. Okay, I guess you can argue with that point. Once again, by the way, we did this in Menachos. Well, I'll just quickly mention over here, Rabbeinu Eliyahu, quoted by the Tosfos, says that every single day you need to tie your tefillin. Right, the pasuk says, "Ukshartu ma'os ayadecha." You tie your tefillin on your arm, and Rabbeinu Eliyahu says, literally, you must tie your tefillin every single day. Tie and untie your tefillin every single day. That is the opinion of Rabbeinu Eliyahu. Rabbeinu Tam.
Here we go.
Right, Rabbeinu Tam says, no, I disagree. That's not true. That is not an imperative every single day. He has a number of proofs to disprove Rabbeinu Eliyahu, and our Gemara, of course, being one of them. Because why is the Gemara saying that you need to be a Talmid Chacham to tie your tefillin? Right, according to Rabbeinu Eliyahu, everyone ties his tefillin every single day, and okay. Good. I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, back to the Gemara. You have a butcher. And he doesn't know Hilchos Shechita. Butcher, by the way, I don't mean butcher meaning the guy you buy your meat from. I'm talking about the shochet. Mm-hmm. So if he doesn't know Hilchos Shechita, you can't eat from his shechita. Right? I don't care. You can't eat from his shechita. The Elohein Hilchos Shechita. And here we go. Daf Tess. Only took 9 pages into the Gemara to finally, say it. We mentioned 3 earlier in the Masechta, right? But now the Gemara is going to give us the list of 5. Shehiya drasa chala dehagrama and ikor. Okay, so let's take a moment to go through each one of these things. Again, the context of the Gemara says that you cannot eat from somebody's shechita unless he knows all 5. The 5 are as follows. Number one, now I'm going to mention these, I'm going to do this quickly because the Gemara will spend time on each one of them by themselves. So there's no need for us to super analyze every one of them right now. But just so that we're familiar, we should have a basic understanding of each one of them. Number one, shehiya. Shehiya is a pause. That means, here's my knife, right? I brought a fake knife for today. So you're going through the neck of the animal. You can't stop in the middle. So in other words, you got to keep moving all the way through until you finish cutting the 2 simanim, the 2 pipes, the trachea and the esophagus. But if you pause in the middle, we'll talk later on about how long a pause we're talking, but if you pause in the middle, that is a posel. That disqualifies the shechita. Now, interestingly enough, we'll talk about this later on as well. If, let's say, it's a really dull knife and it takes a long time to get through the neck of the animal, that's fine. That's fine. As long as you don't stop, so that that would be fine. Okay, that's number one. Number two is hadrasa. Hadrasa means that you go in with a forward motion. That's a posel, that disqualifies. It has to be melech umevi. It's got to be a back and forth motion. It cannot be forward pressure, but it's got to be back and forth. Obviously, when you're back and forth, there is going to be, in addition to that forward pressure, you want it to move forward, but it's got to be in a back and forth slicing motion. It cannot be a chop forward. That is also a posel. Number three is chalada. Now, chalada we'll talk more about later on. Rashi explains this comes from the word chulda. Chulda is a rodent. Okay, we know the nature of a rodent is it goes into the hole, right? So you see a rat in your house, and then you don't see it. What happened? It found the smallest crack in your walls to go through. Okay, not pleasant when you have that. So, been there, done that. So chulda is it hides in a hole. So here, how do we understand the context of shechita? We're not actually talking about a rodent, but it means that the knife is hidden. Right? So for example, there are going to be a couple of examples of what this means, but for example, you take the knife and you insert it into the neck, right? And then you, right, without having cut anything, and then you start cutting away at the samanim after you've inserted it into the neck. Okay. The Gemara is going to give other scenarios of chalada. Hagrama. Okay, this is an interesting one. Hagrama is that there's a basic parameter of where you shecht along the trachea and the esophagus. If you shecht too high or if you shecht too low, so you're outside of the accepted parameters, and so then you violated the prohibition of hagrama. And we'll talk in much more detail later on in the Masechta about hagrama. And finally, ikor. Ikor, it literally means to uproot, to dislodge. Now, what exactly does that mean? So here we're going to discuss, because Rashi and Tosfos right here on this page of Gemara discuss ikor with some detail. Rashi says ikor is, I'm going to read Rashi inside. First I'm going to find Rashi. Then I'll read it. Where am I? Where is... Ikor Osha, Shachat Havesu. Oh, right, yeah. So Rashi says, Shachat Haveset Upasak Hagargeris Hare Ikor. So Rashi writes over here, do you know what Ikor is? So it is where you cut the esophagus and you rip out the trachea. Rashi says that's Ikor. If you look at Tosfos over here, Tosfos says that's very difficult to understand. Right, Tosfos right alongside where we are in the Gemara, Kulu Taninu, Perish Bekunshus, Ikor did not shachet a vestige upasak at the gargar, the tema. De ain't the shayach lehilchot shchita. De zep posum imne shalosh shachtu, velodami shar hilchot shchita. Tosfos says, I don't understand Rashi. Meaning, according to Rashi, how are you defining Ikor? You're ripping out the trachea. Ripping out the trachea, you're not even talking about shchita anymore. Meaning the conversation of shchita and the psule shchita is that you're involved in the act of shchita and you're doing something wrong while involved in the act of shchita. Like shehiyah. Shehiyah is I'm cutting and I pause. But I'm in the act of shchita. Hadrasa is that instead of going back and forth, I go forward. But in other words, I'm in the act of shchita. According to Rashi, ikor means I rip out the... I take my hand and I rip out the trachea, right, causing pain to the animal, but you're not even shechting, right? You're not even doing an act of shechita. How can you call that one of the psule shechita?
It's maybe not with your hand, but it may be the knife. Ah,
okay, good. V'yesh lomar da'ari. Now, sounds like Tosfos is giving a noob shot. If you read the Rush, this the Rush is very clear. This is his interpretation of Rashi, much like what you just said, Ben. That this is a possible way of understanding Rashi. You cut with a serrated knife. Now, so Tosfos writes over here that what is wrong with cutting with a serrated knife? That's not shechita, that's chanika. That's choking the animal. Because what you're essentially doing now is that you're not going with a smooth severing of the pipes, but because it's serrated, so basically one of the serrated edges now, little bits of the knife is going to be pulling on whatever you're cutting, or the trachea or the esophagus, and that's not shechita, that's chanika. Shechita is a cutting action, and this is not cutting, but this is just pulling on the trachea and the esophagus. Okay, so that is Tosfos's either... He's arguing with Rashi, he's reinterpreting Rashi. Either way, that's the way he understands it. Tosfos does bring down another opinion, the opinion of the Bahag, which is a totally different understanding of Ikor, which is a dislocation of the trachea and the esophagus, meaning not ripping it out, dislocating it from its place, and then cutting it while it's dislocated. Okay, that's the Bahag's understanding of Ikor. Okay. So, quite simply, it's subject to a machlokas rishonim. What exactly is ikor? Let's go back to the Gemara. Kol tabach shein yodeh hilchos shechita asal lechol mishechita asal ve'elan hilchos shechita shiyah drasa chalad ha'grama v'ikor. My kamashman, the Gemara says, what's the chiddush? Kulu taninu. As we go through the Masechta, as we go through the first two prakim, we will discuss each one of them. Not just in the Gemara, the Mishnayos. The Mishnayos is going to teach, and Brises are going to teach us about each one. So what's his point? Lo tzricha sheshach lafanina beis v'gemal pa'amim v'shachar shapir. So the Gemara says that the Chiddush of Yehuda Mashmuel is that even though he shechted in front of us and successfully, I mean, we saw him shecht two or even three times, I might have thought now at this point forward, you know what, it's okay, let him shecht from this point forward. Even though he's not knowledgeable, even though he does not know about the five psulei shechita, let him shecht nevertheless.
So, maybe you're hinting that you cannot establish it in front of this.
Right. Correct. Right. Mao detema midishach shachet shapir haynami shachet shapir kamash malan. Kevin delogamar zimnan deshay v'daris v'lo yada. Look, since he's not knowledgeable, even though he shechted to us, and as Ben pointed out quite accurately, he has a chazaka. Even though he shechted to us in front of us three times, but nevertheless, he doesn't know the difference between going back and forth and going forward. Okay, last time I went back and forth. This time, you know what? I think it would be a lot easier if I just went forward. That's hadrasa. That's a psule shechita. And he's not the wiser, since he doesn't know the halachas. I have a note, Michael. That's very good. I have a note in my Gemara that this seems to be arguing with what we learned on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, because back there, Ravina does say that if he's not knowledgeable, but he has shechted many times, so that would be good. And so, in my notes, I have that this Gemara over here seems to be arguing on the previous Gemara. It's an excellent point. I think it's an excellent point. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mashmuel. Hatabaskar sheyivdok b'simanam la'achar shechita. Okay, now, my good friend Rabbi Lanner spoke this past Shabbos, and he spoke about the concept of Rov, and we'll talk about the concept of Rov over the next couple of days. A lot of very basic Gemaras coming up, a lot of very basic concepts coming up. Now, as we will discuss in detail, after you shecht an animal, you don't have to check for any treifa, any simani treifa. Okay? Even though there's an entire perek of Gemara, and it's a big perek also, third perek of Chulin, which isn't for a while, is 23 blot of Gemara, describing the Yudches treifa, the 18 treifas. Okay. But, and that's all important information, you can presume that the animal's not a treifa. Okay, so after you shecht the animal, so we don't do an examination, internal examination, to make sure that the animals are treifa. Now we do check the lungs.
Yeah.
Okay, we do check the lungs, but there are a couple of explanations amongst the Rishonim why we check the lungs. But fundamentally speaking, you don't need to do an examination on the animal and the internal organs of the animal. However, Rabbi Yehuda Mashmuel says that you have to check the simanim, meaning that the area where you shechted, you have to make sure, you have to check afterwards and see that you actually cut the trachea on the esophagus. Okay, that's all. So la'achar shechita, Amar Rabbi Yosef Avanan Namitanina. We learned this, Rabbi Shimon Amar Im Shakadei Bikur. So because later on the Mishnah will tell us shihia, how long a pause does it have to be in order to be considered shihia and disqualify the shechita? So it says kedei bikur, enough time for examination. Now the Mishnah does not say what the examination is. So my love, kedei bikur simanim. So the Gemara now is assuming, oh, it dovetails beautifully with what Rabbi Yehuda Mashmuel has just taught us, that you have to do an examination on the two simanim, on the two pipes that you just cut. So the Gemara says, no, amalei abai lo, hachem Rabbi Yochanan kedei bikur chacham. So the Gemara says, no, that it's actually the length of pause is referring to a different shear, the amount of time that it would take to give your knife to a Talmid Chacham and have him examine. There's an interesting halacha, which we'll talk a little bit more later on, in that you have to give your knife to a Talmid Chacham, let him check. Not because you're incompetent and incapable, but as a way of showing honor and respect to the Chacham of your city, so you must give him the knife and he'll do a bedika on the knife.
Each time, just once?
Right, unclear with what kind of frequency you need to do this in order to show proper cover.
This is after it's done. This is like a Tuesday.
And this is before. Right? This is before you shecht the animal.
No, for the knife, to the chacham.
Yeah,
that I'm talking
right.
About
so the Gemara. Yeah, so the Gemara says, I don't understand. That's the shear that we're talking about. Im kein atata dvarch l'shiurim, meaning. How far away do you live from the Talmud Chacham? One block away, two blocks away? Like the Gemara is saying, like, that's really a shear? So the Gemara says, Ela kedei bikur Talmud Chacham. The Gemara says, no, you're right, of course. That's meaning you still have to do it, but that's not the shear. The shear is the amount of time it actually takes to examine the knife. Meaning the Gemara says, let's say you're the Talmud Chacham. So if you're the Talmud Chacham of the town, and you're going to do the Shechita, so you've got nobody else to show it to other than yourself, okay, but you need to show it to yourself, and you will be doing a Bedika on the knife. How long is it going to take for you to do a Bedika on the knife? That's the shear. Now, Tosus himself points out, some knives are big, some knives are small, meaning there still seems to be variability in the shear. Tosus says, no, because there may be true big knife, little knife, but the amount of knife you actually need to shecht is only two neck lengths. So that is an objective shear, the amount of time it takes to examine that. Lo badak mai. Good. Now we're going back on the halacha that you need to check the simanim. You need to check the two pipes after you shechted it. What if you don't? So Rabbi Lazar ben Antignus Mishum Rabbi Eliezer bar Yanai Amar Treif of Asur ba'achila. So one opinion is the animal's treif. Now we're here, like we do all the time, we're borrowing a term. Treif over here doesn't mean treif. Treifa in the technical term, in the legal term, means that the animal's got an internal organ that's punctured or severed, and the animal's a treifa. Okay, that's not what it means over here. Treifa means like what we use the word treif. Treif here simply means it's not kosher, you can't eat it. Okay. Ve'asur ba'achila. Be'masnisa tana nevela umetame be'masa. Now, in a braisa, it says it much stronger. It says that the animal's a nevela, which means it's as if the animal did not experience shechita whatsoever. Okay, right? It gives off tumas nevela. Now, b'maika miflagi b'drav huna d'amar d'amar. Now, the Gemara says that this is a... meaning... essentially, if you don't check the simanim after you shechted the animal, the shechita is no good, right? The only issue right now is, to what degree is it no good? Okay, so according to the first opinion, it's just you can't eat it, but it's not going to give off tumas nevela. According to the second opinion, it's actually going to give off tumas nevela. It's as if you didn't shecht it. The Gemara says, how do we understand this? So, the Amar... Amar Rav Huna, or right, Kedemifli Bad Rav Huna, the Amar, Behema Bechaye Becheskas Isra Omeres, Achi Yodelacha Bame Nishchata. Nishchata Hare Becheskas Heter, Achi Yodelacha Bama Nitrifa. There are two powerful chazakas. Chazakas are presumptions, right? Assumptions of reality. Presumption number one, before an animal shechted, it has a presumption of being usser, obviously. You can't eat it while it's alive. Now Rashi writes over here, the presumption of Isser is Isser of Avram and Achai, which makes perfect sense. While the animal's alive, you're not allowed to eat the animal because it's Avram and Achai. Okay. And in order to change that, meaning you're shechting the animal, the act of shechita is now converting a chazaka. Whenever you convert a chazaka, you have to know with certainty, with very clear certainty, that what you did actually changes a chazaka. So you want to go from an animal that you're not allowed to eat to an animal that you are allowed to eat, so you have to know with clear certainty that you shechted it, which is why you have to check the simanim. You have to check the pipes after you shecht, because you need to know with certainty. Chazaka number two, the animal's not a treifa. Animal's not a treifa. And so according to chazaka number two, that means then that even after you shechted the animal, you can assume the animal wasn't a treifa while it was alive. It continues not to be a treifa unless you know with certainty that it is a treifa, which leads us to the conclusion, which I mentioned earlier this morning, that we don't check for treifas. Meaning after you shech the animal, there's no need to check for treifas because we have this presumption that an animal is an eino treifa. Again, as I mentioned earlier, we do check the lungs. That is, I'll explain, another time I'll explain why we check the lungs. Now that we understand that, so now we'll understand a little bit better. If you don't check the simanim after you shecht, so the animals, you can't eat the animal. Okay. Mar sever becheskes iser kaima bahashta mesahi, umar sever becheskes iser amrina becheskes tuma lo amrina. Okay. So the first opinion, oh, the Gemara kind of goes out of order over here, but still. The first opinion that says the animal's a treifa, meaning the chazaka of it being not kosher and unable to eat, that's a chazaka on achila. That will continue. So in other words, I can't eat it. But we won't add to that the chazaka of tumah. And the second opinion is no. We'll even add to that the chazaka of tumah as well. Meaning if the animal is an enoshchuta, we'll continue to assume that the animal is an enoshchuta if you didn't check the simanim. Okay. It sounds like from Tosos over here, this din, that you can't eat the animal after you shechted it, if you didn't check the simanim, if you didn't check the pipes, this is a din de rabbana, not a din mina Torah. Okay? That's the way Tosos presents it. Second to last Tosos on the page, it's small. Mishum de ropa amim shochet shapir v'sharya medaraisa lo hechmiru lasos nevela. Right? Certainly the first opinion that we saw, that it's only asr b'achila, not doesn't give off an ister, it doesn't give off Tumas Nevela. Okay. Let's do a little bit more for today. Okay? We're really out of time. Okay. Okay, I'll tell you what. We'll stop over here in the Gemara. Just let me make one more point, and then we will conclude for today. We've said that while the animal is alive, the animal is usher, and if you don't know with absolute certainty that you shechted it, which includes an examination of the pipe, so therefore you can't eat the animal. Good? That's what we walk away with today's Gemara. Rashi over here writes, what chazaka are we talking about? Meaning the animal, while it's alive, is you're not allowed to eat. So Rashi writes, I mentioned this earlier this morning, Avram and Achai. The Isser is an Isser of Avram and Achai. That's what Rashi writes over here. So, if you look back in the Rush again, okay, I won't read right now, but the Rush says, I'm a little bit confused.
How could you say Avram and Achai? Because you saw the animal dead in front of you. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, so the Rush over here is bothered by Rashi because, and he quotes the Rashba, because according to Rashi, I don't understand. When the animal's alive, it's Avram and Achai, but after the animal's dead, it's not Avram and Achai anymore.
It's still moving a little bit.
Okay, but in other words, but after that point in time, it's not Avram and Achai anymore. So in other words, from Rashi's perspective, the whole idea is that chazakas continue until you know with certainty that something has changed. So while the animal's alive, the animal's Avram and Achai. And now that the animal's dead,
it's
dead. It's not Avram and Achai anymore. So I don't understand how we perpetuating a chazaka. We're not perpetuating a chazaka. So therefore the Rush writes that that's not the issa we're talking about while the animal's alive. Okay, now that sounds confusing. What issa are we talking about when the animal's alive? So the Rush innovates, it's a very big chiddush, but it makes perfect sense, that there's an issa of eino shchuta. The animal is not shechted. Meaning, by virtue of the fact that the Torah says that you have to shecht an animal, and you can't eat it until you shecht it, so we learn from there that before or prior to that, there is what we call, right, in our modern terminology, an iser asay, right, a prohibition of prior to you having shechted it, it's an eino zvucha, it's just simply not shechted. Then, now you understand, according to the Rush, prior to you shechting it, it's asr. What's the isr? We're calling it an eino shchuta. That perpetuates, right, you hear this now, that perpetuates if you don't know exactly how it shechted. So over here, a basic machlokas we've shown between Rashi and the Rashba, in terms of what isr we're talking about prior to you shechting it. According to Rashi, it's Avram and Achai, and according to the Rush, there's this new isr called what's called eino shchuta. Okay.